Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hey.
Hopefully you're watching this in the morning, but if not, good afternoon or good evening. Just make sure you're staying plugged in and you're all caught up. So hopefully before you watch this video, you've already seen day one. You've already seen day two. But before I dive into the recap of what went on day one and day two of this Credit Restoration Challenge, I first got to let you know that we are Mr.
and Mrs.
Smith. And we are your 5-day Credit Restoration Challenge instructors. And really what we want to do is just give you bite-sized things that you can learn and implement with an action step at the end so you can push your credit, like the person in that image is pushing their credit score closer to excellent. So on day one, what we did was talk about payment history. And if you remember, payment history is what takes up 35% of your credit score. So understanding that is understanding how important it is. And this is where a lot of people spend their time. But you learned in module one of this that when it comes to payment history, the thing that solves the problem of payment history are those four letters that we went over. So we talked about how your credit score is affected, but those four letters is what really solve the problem and push you in the right direction of getting your payment history squared away. Then on day two, we transitioned into credit utilization, and we really love this one because this is where you are all in control. This is 100% up to you, and you have what it takes to claim all of the points that go along with that. And this particular area is 30% of what goes into your credit score. So 30% of your credit score is contingent upon what you do with your credit utilization. But why is that important? Because even though it's 30%, and payment history is 35%, with payment history, you don't have 100% control. When you send those letters, you're subject to whatever they say as it relates to whatever they think you may owe, and if they prove it, then you just have to deal with it. But with credit utilization, you have 100% of control, which really is almost stronger than that 35%. So hopefully you got a ton of value out of that last one. And today we want to add another piece. So those two total up for 65%, and now we want to give you an additional amount that goes along with it.
Yes, so we hope you guys have been doing your homework. Don't forget, you were supposed to pull your credit report.
Yep.
Don't forget, you were supposed to list your debt. You were supposed to reorder your debt, right? Remember that from day one and day two. So make sure you're doing your homework, you guys. We are basically giving you the game for absolutely free, okay? So make sure you're doing your due diligence. Let's dive straight in. Day three, we have credit history, all right? Let's get into it.
Credit history. So as we stated, we've already given you 65% of your score, 35% from payment history and credit utilization. But credit history is 15%. So this right here will cover 80% of what is affecting your credit score. So as you can see.
All right, guys. Credit history is the age or length of your credit, okay? It is the length. The credit history is how long any given account has been reported open. The longer the history, generally, the better the score. So if you guys have ever seen a presentation of ours where we talked about does age affect your credit history, it is absolutely true. It is said that the older you are, guess what? You have more credit history, which means the better the score. Accounts with a positive payment history that have no delinquencies are the best.
I love it. I love it. I love it. See, this is what you got to understand. When it comes to credit history, the longer the better, like she said. But sometimes even negative history can play a key part because it just shows the duration overall as it pertains to your credit. But this is why what we talked about yesterday and the day before is so important. You see, sometimes you might find yourself when your back is against the wall and you have to make a choice on who will not get paid. See, if you had a couple of credit cards and you look at those credit cards and you see that you were with two particular credit cards, let's say you have three credit cards, and let's say that you had a Capital One card and you also had, a card directly with your bank and you banked with Bank of America, and those were your two credit cards, but you also acquired a Discover credit card elsewhere and you had to make a decision on who was going to get paid and who wasn't. And what you want to do is look at who you've had an account with for the longest, and sometimes it may make sense for you to make sure that they get paid. And if one person doesn't get paid, it's the person who you have the shortest history with. Why is that important? Because as it relates to your credit history, that lengthens the credit history that you have with the first two credit cards, and it isn't affecting you as much as if you would have cut one of those creditors off. So it's all about strategy. So that's why the previous lesson ties directly into this. So make sure that you understand what you have available to you as it relates to the strategies when your back is against the wall, because you will not stay down forever. There will be a comeback, and the decisions that you make during this time can make a world of difference.
That's exactly what I was going to say, you guys. The finance game is all about strategy. Credit is all about strategy. Let's keep going. Now, credit history, as we stated, we address the whole score, you guys. You're automatically given 300 points, so you're fighting to get from 300 to 850. So the available points, as mentioned in the previous videos, is 550 points, in which credit history accounts for 15% of that, which is 82.5 max points. So credit history, having good credit history, long credit history with no delinquencies, could get you a maximum of 82.5 points. If you don't have any, this can be the hardest to generate if you don't apply the suggested strategies. You guys, credit history can be extremely, extremely hard if you have none at all.
Now, with us focusing on the whole score, this is really why it's important and why we stress the importance of doing it yourself. Yes, we know you can pay somebody to do it. We get it. But it's only a certain amount that they can do. The rest is up to you. And a lot of times they don't focus on the whole score and they leave things off. And it's important for you to understand each factor, because you need to treat this like a game and you want to collect as many points or coins as you can as it relates to your credit score. So with this being 15%, that gives you an overall 80% in your credit based on the modules you've already received. Now, this is what you have to understand. Once you understand how to do your credit yourself, not only do you position yourself to no longer have to worry about your credit going in a negative direction, or if so, you know exactly what you need to do, but more importantly, you develop a skill. This is the education that they cannot take from you if you know it, but if you pay somebody to do it, you never learn that skill. So that's what you have to understand. Now, as it relates to your credit history, another thing I want to add before we proceed, like she said, this is the hardest part to generate. And many times young people have a hard time really getting their credit history to reflect positively, especially if they're young, they're students, or they just haven't had many experiences or encounters with credit. So this is why you want to understand how you can really maximize on that 15%. Because once you understand this and how easy it can be done, now you overcome what many people struggle with. And this is one of the things that many people struggle with, credit history.
All right, so let's go through the breakdown, you guys. What is it that FICO is looking at? Well, they're looking at how long your accounts have been open, how long specific account types have been open, and how long it has been since those accounts were used.
Now, see, when you think about that, now you just have to make a cold, hard look at your scenario. And when we talked about previously, when you have a credit card, if you're paying it off, in general, most people would say a zero balance is negative. But it's not just a zero balance, it's if it's inactivity. And once you're using the card, you play the game that FICO is playing, because now you're keeping your accounts open longer. So that accounts for how long have the accounts been open. Now you have specific account types that you understand this in, and you can make sure it applies and enhances your credit score as well. And then where it says how long has it been since those accounts are being used, if you're doing it regularly, I don't care if you're going to a restaurant, going to get gas, going to buy a piece of chewing gum, you're at least using the card, and FICO pays attention to that, and you're rewarded as a result.
And what you also have to understand, where it talks about how long specific account types have been open, when we're talking about specific account types, don't forget we broke down in the previous video the installment and revolving debt. Another thing that you may want to consider is, a lot of times people think that when you close an account, it's not a benefit, but actually a closed account can benefit you as it pertains to your payment history, especially if that account was in good standing.
And that's perfect for this next slide. So how much history is enough?
Yes, the minimum needed to generate a credit score is 6 months, you guys. So if you have absolutely no payment history whatsoever and you're trying to get it, keep in mind that it'll take 6 months minimum for you to start generating a score, okay? Closed accounts can still report on your account for credit history, as I stated. Paid on time closed accounts stay on your report for 10 years. Is that beneficial or what? And late payment closed accounts stay on your report for 7 years. So that is something that could kind of hit you, you guys. You want to make sure that your accounts are in good standing, but hey, at least it falls off 3 years before an account that was in good standing and paid on time.
Absolutely. And see, once you understand that, because we tell you, if you don't have to close the account, don't close the account. But we do understand that there is that rare scenario, or that often scenario, that means that you may have to cancel an account because it just may not be serving to you. We've heard of a young lady who had a credit card, and she was in good standing with the credit card and paying it on time, but they had something built into the agreement that caused her to have to pay $250 per year just to have the card. $250 per year. So when she did the math, it really didn't make sense for her to keep that card in conjunction with the other cards that she had. However, what she did do was go ahead and close that card with good payment history. So now that good payment history will stay on her report for 10 years because she left in good standing, but she had other cards that allowed her to still keep some credit flowing, and she kept it moving. The only thing she did lose or miss out on is the credit utilization. And this is what I mean. So say, for instance, that car had a $1,000 balance, but she had two other cars that totaled up to $10,000. So she had a total of $11,000 in credit utilization, credit available to her to be used, to be utilized. Say she canceled that $1,000 card because of the fees and it just not making sense. Now her credit limit went down to 10,000 when it was once 11,000. So yeah, she took a hit on the credit limit, but as long as she maintains her credit utilization, she can still be fine. And the good payment history associated with the card that was closed still will be on her report for 10 years. So I hope you get that. I hope that makes sense. Rewind it if you have to, but that's important.
Right, and if you don't understand that utilization part, keep in mind, you can always go back to the video from yesterday where we talked about the credit utilization demanding to keep it in the single digits, all right? Let's keep going. Look, the solution at the end of the day to credit history is becoming an authorized user. Now, this is how the game goes, all right? Number one, you can find a relative or a friend with a credit card with good history. Or number two, you can be asked to be added to their account as an authorized user. Now, it's so funny. We were doing a credit workshop, and somebody said, well, that's a whole side hustle. You should be able to make some money by adding people to your account as an authorized user. I don't know anything about that. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But what we're saying is, if you guys have a relative or a friend, for example, my mom, she added me fresh out of high school. She added me to her account. I was able to inherit some of her good payment history, okay? The car owner does not have to give you a card. You will inherit their payment history. So, as I stated, my mom added me to her account as an authorized user, right? Now, she did actually give me a credit card, but it was just with a really small balance. And she was reminding me, hey, don't forget to make that payment. Don't mess up my payment history. And on top of me learning, me becoming disciplined, me learning at a young age, I was also able to inherit her good payment history. So I definitely thank her for that.
Absolutely. And that's a good scenario because not everybody positions their children to have good credit before they even know what credit is.
Yes.
So understand that. And I kind of want to hit on what she said about the side hustle. This could be a whole side hustle. You see, we really recommend a person find a relative or a good friend
yes.
that has good history. Because there are a lot of companies out there that will charge you to be an authorized user. This is all they're doing. They're charging you a fee, and it may be anywhere from $300 to $1,500. You know, the prices may vary, but they're charging you a fee to be added as an authorized user. Now, it takes a certain amount of time for that to be reflected on your credit report, but it does help you, but the help that it provides is temporary. So sometimes people may get added as an authorized user, and that is called trade lines. You know, they're basically selling trade lines. It's just another way to say that you're being added to their account as an authorized user. Some people call it piggybacking. You will hear different terms for the same thing. But it's temporary because it usually comes with terms. They usually have you on there for maybe 3 months or 6 months, and it may help you buy the car or buy the home, because a lot of times people do it when they're trying to qualify for something and they want to increase or get their credit history a boost. However, when that time runs out, it prevents you from having the longevity of good credit history. So understand that it's temporary and you don't necessarily have to pay somebody to do it. If you have a family member that has good credit history that you can be added on, and the security that they have is the fact that they don't have to give you a card. So once they understand that, then most cases they may be open to doing it, and you don't have to pay, and it doesn't have to be so short term. We want to create something that gives you long term good credit, so you keep good credit history as you build.
All right, let's proceed. All right, now let's also talk about another solution, you guys, converting rental payment history. Yes, paying your rent can actually be reflected on your credit report, okay, in the credit history section. If you are a renter and have good rental history, you might be able to convert your rent into credit history. There are credit rental reporting services that will work with your landlord to report your rent as credit. It's so funny because one of the things that Marcus always says is, of all of your bills, most people are going to make sure they have a roof over their head. They're going to pay that mortgage, get paid, if anything else, right? Imagine while you're renting, one of the benefits is you're boosting your credit score. You're making sure that you're getting all of your points for credit history just because you're paying your rent on time.
And I thought that was pretty genius. When somebody came up with the idea to allow people to get credit for paying their rent,
yes.
I was like, that's how you fill a void. Because most of the time people don't have a chance to establish credit, but they've been paying rent for somewhere for years, which brings me into my next point. So once you get with a company that allows you to convert your rental payment history into good credit history, now you're in a position to where not only will it start calculating each and every month that you pay, but certain companies allow you to go back a couple of years. So if you've been at a particular location or address for a certain amount of time, you might be able to go 2 years back and get some of that old credit history based on your rental payment history. Don't confuse the two. Payment history is different from credit history, as we broke down, but that is genius within itself. So think about how long you may have been renting if you're a renter and how good your credit history can be by incorporating this one solution. So keep that in mind. Just wanted to throw that out there and paint a picture for you. Solution.
All right, y'all.
Now let's talk about action.
Yes, let's give you some homework for day three, all right? Become an authorized user, you guys. Ask a family member or a friend with a credit card that they have had a long time with positive payment history to add you as an authorized user, you guys. Make sure the card has low credit utilization. If you are a renter, contact a credit rental reporting company and get your rent converted into credit.
Now, this is why it's important for you to truly understand what's going on, because like we say, if you pay somebody to fix your credit, you don't really know what's going on. You can't really claim that as a skill that you develop or newfound knowledge that you can then take and do something else with. We want you to know what's going on because everybody's scenario is different. And if you just pay somebody who does a cookie cutter method of boosting your credit, then you may miss out on large lump sums of percentages or points that could go towards you having great credit. So we need you to take these actions because Now it pushes you in a closer direction. These are 80% of what goes into your credit score that we covered on day one, day two, and now day three. So not only will you be able to look at this scenario, apply it to you, because everybody's scenario is different. We're not here to tell you that everybody has the same exact scenario, but see what works for you. See what you can implement and see how you can benefit from what it is that we're talking about. So ask a family member today.
Yes.
That you know has good credit, good standing, and make sure that the car has a low credit utilization. Because this is the thing. We've had scenarios where people may want someone to add them as an authorized user, and they may have had great payment history. But imagine if you're being added as an authorized user to someone else's account, and they have great payment history, but they have a $10,000 credit limit. Mm-hmm. But it's maxed out, or it's $9,500, or it's at $9,000 of credit utilization. Yeah, you might inherit some good credit history, but you just killed your credit utilization as it relates to your credit report. So it didn't serve you. It just kind of weighed each other out, or just kind of one killed the other thing. So it really wouldn't be a good idea in that scenario. So you want to make sure that their credit utilization is low, and they have good payment history, they add you to the account, you tell them, look, I don't even need a card. I'm just trying to use this to help build my credit. So, Grandma, if you would, I really appreciate it. I don't need a card. Don't even give me a card. Just add my name. It'll help a lot. Or good family member or mother or whoever it is, it can help a lot. And if you've been renting, don't let that good payment history from being a renter go down the drain. Use whatever you have available to you. It's all about being resourceful.
Yes, and I know what you're going to ask. You're going to say, well, I rent. What are the rental companies, right?
Right.
And voila, we have a site that we highly, highly, highly recommend. Listen, this is what you have to understand. If you've been paying rent, especially over, you know, the last 2 years or so, and you have had good payment history with paying your rent, you guys, it literally is pennies. I'm not going to get into price, but just know it's pennies to have this put on your credit report. You can have your rent reported to Experian and TransUnion. I think it's worth the small investment.
Absolutely. So visit payrentgetcredit.com and go ahead and follow through with the process. And if you've been paying rent for any amount of time, go ahead and choose the option that allows you to go back up to 2 years, because we've seen people's credit score jump about 100 points just off of that alone, because it taps into creating more credit history and payment history, as you already know the importance of. PayRentGetCredit.com. Go there immediately. It'll be down below in the comments as well, but you definitely want to take advantage of getting your rent reported. Stop paying rent without getting credit for it.
Right.
So that being said, let's do a recap. Day one, we gave you payment history. We told you the importance of that. Day two, we told you credit utilization was all about you. And now we're at day three with credit history, and we're giving you a tool that you can use immediately that can pretty much boost your credit if you've been paying rent for a certain amount of time. All you have to do is visit payrentgetcredit.com, follow the process, and this is the guarantee that's embedded in going through this site. If your landlord or whoever you're paying your rent to does not cooperate with this process at any time of the process, then it will not charge you. So in other words, you'll get a money back guarantee if they don't do their part, just to throw in some other guarantees. But visit that site, take advantage of it. We've given you the recap. Get ready for the upcoming days. We've got 2 days left. Still got 20% of your credit report that has not been accounted for in this challenge. We've already given you 80, 20% left.
All right, you guys. So we hope that you're taking advantage of all of this free game. We're literally giving you actionable steps that you can start taking right now. We're extremely excited for you. I hope that you're keeping this organized, you guys. Get your notebook. Take your notes. Put everything in there and stay as organized as possible. Another thing that I need you to do, tag the people that you invited to this challenge. Let them know, hey, the Smiths put up day three. Come on, let's watch this video. Let's get to work, you guys. That's what we really want you to do. We want you and everybody that you invited to win.
Absolutely. That's all we got. Until we see you again on day four, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Signing out.